Good evening, Facebook friends. This evening, Mark has agreed to work with me on continuing our study of In My Father's House. And we're going to be, actually, we're going to be working through the fifth chapter of this book, In My Father, What Shall I Do to Inherit Eternal Life? By Edward Henry, a little booklet he wrote, and we're gonna tonight be just doing four pages out of the fifth chapter. The fifth chapter is entitled The Miracle of Imputed Righteousness. The Miracle of Imputed Righteousness. And I've asked Mark to read page 27 and 28. And Mark, if you could, try to read as loud as you can so that our guests can hear you. Okay?
Yeah. Chapter 5, The Miracle of Imputed Righteousness. God resolved the dilemma of our inherent sinfulness by coming to earth and living a perfect life. He then, being innocent of any sin, allowed himself to be punished in our place for our sins. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Jesus was an atoning sacrifice for our sins. His crucifixion and death was a propitiation for our sins that satisfied God's requirement that sin be punished, 1 John 4:10. How does one obtain the benefit of the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ? If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, his perfect life will be imputed to you, and in the eyes of God, you are sinless and righteous. Galatians 3:6 through 9, you are justified not because you are good, but because Christ is good and paid the price for your sins. If you believe in Jesus, his righteousness will be imputed to you. He took the total punishment for your sin, which was required by God for justice, so that he could forgive you completely according to his perfect mercy. The key is that it is through faith in the work of Jesus Christ and not by one's own works that one is saved. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Romans 3:21 through 28. No amount of good works can save one from the danger of hell. That is because the guilt of sin cannot be removed by good works. For example, if one commits murder, the person is guilty of murder. No amount of good works can remove the guilt for the murderer. Even if the person received a pardon, that pardon does not remove the guilt for the murderer. A pardon excuses a person from the penalty for a crime. However, the person pardoned is not absolved of the guilt. God does more than just pardon believers. He justifies them. When a person is justified for an alleged wicked act, it means more than a pardon. Justification is a declaration that the person is absolved not only of the punishment, but also the guilt. The person justified is not subject to the punishment for the wicked act. In addition, he is not guilty.
Well, thank you, Mark, for
yes.
doing that. Well, I want to thank our guests who have joined us this evening. I see that we have Jerry, Marcelino, Alan Taylor, Connie, Shipperini, I hope that's right. And Mark was having a little struggle. You might have seen that a little bit tonight. Sometimes he struggles more than others, but I'm glad that he is doing as well as he is. Now, talk about imputed righteousness. When the Bible declares that one is justified, it does not mean that the person is imparted with actual righteousness of his own, because the person is in fact guilty of the sin. Rather, justification through Christ means that God imputes the righteousness of Christ to the believer. That God imputes the righteousness of Christ to the believer. And thus God views the person as not guilty of the sin. It is a legal spiritual exchange. The believer's sins are imputed to Christ, who paid the penalty for them, and Christ's righteousness is imputed to the believer. 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 21. So for men to declare someone justified for wickedness is an abomination of the Lord. He justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination of the Lord. Proverbs 17:5. Welcome aboard all of those that I can't see on the screen here. Well, while it's the epitome of an unrighteous man to justify the wicked, it is the epitome of righteousness for God to do the same thing. That is because God justifies the wicked through the atonement of his Son, Jesus Christ. If God were to punish the sinner directly, the sinner would be punished, but he could never be justified because the guilt for the sin would remain. The only way to justify the sinner is by having Jesus trade places with the sinner. There was a perfect legal exchange at the cross, which facilitated justification. The righteousness of Jesus is imputed to the believer, and the sins of the believer are imputed to righteousness. Without the imputation of the righteousness of Christ to the believer, justification of the sinner would be an abomination. So Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law by being cursed in our stead. He who knew no sin was punished for our sins. Why didn't God just forgive all of our sins without coming to earth and sacrificing himself for our sins? Because God's character is that he is both perfectly just and perfectly merciful. God punished himself in our place for our sins on the cross according to his perfect justice. Those that believe in Jesus Christ are then forgiven of all their sins and are cloaked with the perfect righteousness of Christ. Well, I'm glad to know that we have been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made for us. And I'm glad that we have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. May the Lord be with you this evening. And we will continue our studies in this book. What must I do to inherit eternal life next time? God bless.